It's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question. Pink on the lips of your lover. Cause pink is the love you discover.
Welcome to the Marilyn York Show. Warning, this program is not for the faint of heart. Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Good morning, everyone. It's Marilyn York, your host of the Marilyn York Show, and thanks for tuning in. Today, it is just me and only me to talk to you guys. I think I'm going to do a whole day on prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. So if you guys have questions or comments on the subject, and I know it's kind of a controversial subject for many, particularly women. I haven't met a man yet that doesn't think prenups are a good idea. So perhaps if you're the breadwinner, it's an obvious thing that you would want. And if you're not, then it's an obvious thing you wouldn't want. So feel free to call in during the show at 823-1920. I would love to hear your opinions about prenuptial agreements or questions. So don't be shy. Or you can put it on Facebook if you are shy, because I always have my Facebook page up on the Marilyn York Show Facebook fan page during the show. So you can do that as well. And you can always get on the MarilynYorkShow.com and email me at any time with suggestions, ideas, or comments there as well if you're shy. So prenup and postnuptial agreements. So I kind of call it the hope for the best, but plan for the worst scenario, because most people think of prenups as something to be used to plan for divorce. However, that's not the only purpose for which they are useful. But I'd like to start out by saying, if you guys are giving me the religious sector favorite speech, which is our marriage is going to last forever, we're going to be married forever speech, spare me, okay? Statistical likelihood of divorce, 50%. Hello, 50% people. I'm sure a large portion of those people were religious or not religious, just romantic, really, really thought this marriage was going to last forever. Spare me. It's not going to last forever in most instances or half instances. If it's a second or third marriage, that actually goes up. So I think you guys need to be more realistic and stop viewing prenuptial agreements as planning for divorce when in fact it's probably going to happen. So anyway, I'm going to go on with prenuptial agreements. So the purposes of the prenup are, like I said, divorce being the most obvious. And in that case, the state has created a plan for how your property will be divided in the event of divorce. But that's also true for death. Prenuptial agreements are also very helpful for death scenarios. If you guys don't have a will, and here's the weird thing to me, though. If somebody goes to the trouble of preparing a prenuptial agreement, then why the hell do they not have a will? But okay, maybe this is like the optimism of youth where people think I'm not going to die because I'm young. I don't have a will, so I shouldn't be talking crap. And I do have a prenup. So, you know, okay, I guess I just described myself. What a genius I am. So anyway, in the event of death, the state decides normally that your spouse gets everything. If you have children, they get nothing. If you have children from a prior marriage, they get nothing. And that isn't probably your intent. So death is another place that this can come into play and be helpful. So let's just accept the fact that the state has a created plan for how your property will be divided in the event of either. So you guys need to know what the law is in the event that you don't have a prenup. That's the first most important thing here. And you need to consult with an attorney to learn that law. And then you need to decide, are you satisfied with what happens under the law? And then if you aren't, you can change it. That's a beautiful thing of a prenuptial agreement. You can change the law as it currently sits. The other scary thing about the law is much of it is discretionary. So the judge will make decisions that aren't predictable in the scenario of a divorce or death. And so you can fix that as well. So it's kind of a brilliant mechanism. And again, I'm tired of people pretending they're not going to die or they're not going to get divorced. Obviously, everyone dies. So let's plan for it. And obviously, half of marriages end in divorce. So let's plan for that, people. So in that scenario, isn't it more enticing, shall we say, to negotiate the terms of a divorce when you still like each other? Oh my God, what a concept. So you're in the throes of marriage or marital, premarital bliss. You love each other. You're still having sex. What a concept. Imagine negotiating the terms of your divorce in that positive environment. It's so much nicer than when you hate each other's guts and you aren't having sex anymore. It is so much more pleasant to give somebody something when you still love them, or take something from someone when you still love them. So this is a perfect time to negotiate divorce, when people still like each other. So as much as people say that that's a bad thing, I will say one thing though. Having done numerous prenuptial agreements, obviously, and postnuptial agreements, and I'll get into those differences, about a third of those negotiations terminate the potential marriage. So there, I honestly think the statistic is at least a third. And the reasons are not as sad as you would think. I think, honestly, in most instances, it's because people find out that they aren't in fact compatible at all. Financially or morally or emotionally or proactively or religious, you know, whatever. This is a perfect opportunity to discuss these things with each other. You know, what happens in the event of the divorce? You want me to waive spousal support? What if I'm a stay-at-home mom? Too bad, you're not getting anything. Okay, yeah, this guy is a jerk and you don't want to marry him. And it has nothing to do with the prenup, but you found out because of the prenup. This is one of the benefits of having these discussions in advance. 823-1920, if you guys want to talk about this subject or give me your thoughts and feelings. I just got a shout out through Dell for the Reno Sparks cab drivers, and we love you guys as well, particularly because you drive these jerks around when they're drunk. So thank you, Reno Sparks cab drivers, for saving people from DUIs and my clients from getting into more trouble than they're already in with divorce. So Felicia on line one, what is your comment? Or, well, apparently nothing. We'll talk to Felicia in a minute. Hopefully you'll call back. So on divorce subjects, unfortunately, as I stated, it happens. And again, here's the statistic you guys need to be aware of as well. You can agree to a lot of things, and I'll get into those things, that normally courts would not babysit you on or not be willing to talk about, like how often you have sex. That is in people's prenuptial agreements, that they will have sex regularly, no less than one time a week or something to that effect. That is something the court will never do and may or may not enforce if it has a financial repercussion as a result of it. But it is something that typically if people agree to, they will follow. The statistics say that if people agree to something, they are 90% likely to follow it as compared to if it's shoved down their throat by a court. And so this is why, for example, family court is so mediation oriented and they try to get people to come to an agreement because they have a 90% likelihood of following the terms of that agreement or court order that results from the agreement, as opposed to far lesser likelihood of following it if the court shoves it down your throat. So the same is true for a prenuptial agreement. If you guys negotiate it, particularly when you like each other or love each other, people are 90% likely to follow it. That's the statistical data out there. So naturally, it makes sense to put things in the agreement that may or may not be enforceable in the end because people will follow them regardless. Felicia, we're going to try again on line one. What's your question or comment?
Hello. Hi. Have a question. I signed a prenup before I had gotten married, but it did not, we've started a business since then,
okay.
Which we both put our working monies into. Does that prenup have anything to do with the business that's just booming and totally taking off?
I would have to read the prenup to see if there's some more generic clauses in there. If it wasn't specifically stated in the prenup, there still may be clauses in your prenup that talk about, you know, income earned and efforts and who gets that income and what happens if you invested income from prior to marriage into an asset. So I suspect there's still some generic stuff that covers it. But honestly, my recommendation would be if you guys are still in a good place and you're getting along and you both agree that you want to deal with this issue in the event things don't work out long term or forever or in the event of death, I would suggest you take your prenup back to your original attorney or new attorneys, whatever the case may be, and have them amend it. You can absolutely amend your prenup during the marriage. You don't need consideration for that. So I suggest that you absolutely go have it reviewed and make sure it doesn't require an update just while you're getting along.
Okay, and then do both parties have to agree upon that? Okay.
Yes, just like the first one, you both have to agree and amend it in writing.
Okay.
And that actually brings me to a point too, Elise. Felicia, excuse me. One of the things you should be aware of is, unfortunately, in a romantic gesture, sometimes I have had instances where men will say rip up a prenuptial agreement at an anniversary dinner as an act of romance. That is a meaningless move. A prenup must be revoked in writing, signed by both parties. So ripping the prenup up is not helpful. So that just made me think of it when
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What happens if you don't have another copy of it?
Your attorney should have kept a copy, hopefully. Okay. So, you know, that does happen. Obviously, if you can't produce a copy at divorce or death, it's useless. But typically, the attorney that prepared it or attorneys, hopefully, will have retained a copy. But that does bring up a good point. If you can't find a copy, you better start looking now.
Okay.
And find out if they have it, because they don't always keep things forever. You know, usually 7 to 10 years is the average attorney's keeping period in tune with the IRS.
Okay. Fabulous. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you for your call. John, on line two, you got a question or comment about prenups?
Yes, Marilyn. Did you happen to see the new nominee to the Supreme Court, Kagan's new makeover and hairdo picture?
God, I'm so sad to say I haven't, and I love makeover pictures, John.
She looks like an old drag queen.
They always put too much makeup on these ladies when they try to make them over, and transvestite is the first thought that comes to my mind when they do it.
I thought you'd be interested this morning in prenups around the world.
Yes, I love prenups around the world. What do you know?
In Quebec, being the upright walking encyclopedia of useless knowledge.
I love you for that, John.
In Quebec, Italy, France, and Germany, they have a different concept of the prenup and the amended prenup, postnup, and they call them marriage regimes. And the parties can elect to own property either with the word separate or shared property, where we have the concept of the before or after.
Yes.
And in 2007, England and Wales stopped honoring, or they ignore prenuptial agreements altogether.
Well, I'm sure because they're probably pro-male society. And typically a prenup, I don't know. I think prenups actually help the breadwinner usually. That's the purpose of them. But it's interesting that they would ignore them because we prefer them, I think.
In Judaism, they do the prenup in the Ketubah, which is the marriage ceremony, and any disputes are decided by a rabbinical tribunal.
I have read a prenup as authored by a rabbi that I have with me here today to read some excerpts from, and it is very interesting, I will say, and I have done quite a few of Jewish prenups in my Los Angeles working career, and they are fascinating.
And the Catholics only go with canon law, and they don't recognize prenups either for two reasons, because it's civil law, and that would give recognition to divorce, which leads me to my final thought, that St. Paul, the Council of Trent, Pope Innocent IV in 1208, ruined marriage for everybody when they made it a sacrament instead of an issue of property and chattel.
Yeah.
And, well, there you have it, Marilyn.
Thanks, John. John's our local history buff and always gives us the religious and historical background for these subjects, and I appreciate it. It's very interesting. So if you guys have some more thoughts, please call 823-1920 and share them. We have a break coming up, and so we're going to hear from our sponsors, and when we come back, I'll tell you about some celebrity prenups, some strange clauses, and legally what you can and cannot include for enforceability.
There's no one like Michael Savage, and he's live weekdays at 3 on Fox News Radio 1270.
Have you ever seen a square foot? Well, we've got 8,800 of them, and they're all fun. We're Junkie, 8,800 square feet of pure fun, because it's fun to save money, and it's fun to shop at Junkie. Got a theme party coming up? We can help you pull it all together. We've got the right look for your roaring 20s theme party. Been invited to a disco party? Need to look like Madonna or Cyndi Lauper? No problem. Our 80s gear is totally rad. Junkie has clothes for every kind of theme party. And Junkie can save you money on clothes for work, clothes for play, and clothes that are priced so low they just satisfy your urge to shop. You don't have to spend a lot to have a lot of fun. Some of our square feet are devoted to affordable retro furniture and vintage style home decor. You can decorate your home in a unique way at Junkie's Antique Mall. We also have tons of one-of-a-kind jewelry. So for affordable parties, clothes, accessories, retro furniture, and antiques, Junkie's the fun place to shop. Now we'll get serious and tell you where we're located. We're in the big brick building between Vassar and California on Virginia Street. Junkie is obviously the fun place to shop.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
Build your better breakfast at Subway with the new 250 Breakfast Combo. Get a Western Egg White Muffin Melt with 4 grams of fat, fresh toasted and made to your order. Add a 16-ounce cup of freshly brewed Seattle's Best Coffee, all for only $2.50. Try the new Subway 250 Breakfast Combo today. Subway, eat fresh.
For a limited time only at participating restaurants. May not be combined with coupon offers or discount cards, plus tax where applicable. That content refers to Western Egg White Muffin Melt prepared according to standard recipe.
News Radio, 1270.
Some boys kiss me, some boys hug me. I think they're okay. If they don't give me proper credit, I just walk away. They can beg and they can plead, but they can't see the light. Cause the boy with the cold hard cash is always Mr.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and I'm totally a material girl. I'm not going to lie. So that's a perfect song. Del, thank you once again for your contributions.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to point out, you guys, that prenuptial agreements are all about material goods. Let's be honest. Because while some include non-material goods clauses, like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's alleged prenup, even though they're not married, supposedly has a clause saying Angelina gets custody. This is not the purpose of a prenuptial agreement and is likely not enforceable because custody is to be decided in the best interests of the children. And that has nothing to do with your agreement. Oftentimes, I find people are ridiculous and stupid about who they think should have the kids and are not the ones that should decide in some instances. So this is not the purpose of a prenup. And again, it may not be enforceable, likely won't be enforceable, but I guess good for them for planning a marriage that'll never happen and contemplating half as many children as they'll eventually have if they ever get married or divorced. So back to the law of prenups and what they can and cannot include. I'm giving you Nevada specific law, but what you guys should know is there is a Uniform Premarital Agreement Act that is uniform nationwide. And that is designed so that people can travel and do prenups in one state or another and know with some certainty that they are in fact enforceable in other states in the event of a divorce. Obviously, state specifically each have their own laws. And so this may or may not be the only law that one should be aware of. I would suggest if you guys get a prenuptial agreement in Nevada, for example, that if you go to California for any extended period of time or another state, you just touch base with a local attorney and make sure in the event of a divorce, particularly if your spouse, you know, is say banging the nanny, this would be a good time to review your prenup and make sure in fact it is still enforceable and helpful in the state that you may in fact get divorced in. 823-1920, if you guys have thoughts, comments, or consideration you want me to take into my account of the prenuptial agreement ideas. So content in Nevada and the Uniform Prenuptial Agreement Act, you guys can do anything you want to property, essentially. In fact, the most popular thing in my office seems to be contractually agreeing that there is no such thing as community property. We basically get rid of community property income altogether by contract and undo the legal effect of the marriage in most instances, whereby you say, my income's my income, your income is your income. And this brings me to another instance where prenuptial agreements are helpful that one doesn't think about very often. That is, what happens while we're married? This is a great time to discuss what your expectations and obligations are under the marriage and make them part of your contract when they're significant. And so in the instance I'm talking about, if you guys say nobody has community property income, mine's mine, yours is yours, you would have to contemplate who pays the household bills, for example. We're going to own a home in joint title, that home is equally ours, or we're going to live in husband's home or wife's home and that's their home, and I'm going to contribute this much money per month or this percentage of the total household bills each month. And those are the sort of things we will put into the prenuptial agreement, and it actually dictates what happens while you're still together. So again, while the naysayers say you're planning for divorce, oftentimes this isn't about divorce planning. This is about marriage planning, and it results in a happier union and less likelihood of divorce because the expectations are discussed in advance. Finances are discussed in advance. And in fact, the prenup requires a full disclosure of assets and debts. So a lot of times you guys know of marriages where people end up getting married and wife and husband get together and later husband, for example, finds out wife has 50 grand in credit card debt, $50,000. And no one asked. Nobody asked. Nobody told. And this is a huge burden, particularly on a middle American family earning, say, $40,000 a year. You have more credit card debt than your annual income. Major problem. In a prenuptial agreement, you have to disclose this. What a concept. Again, this sometimes results in a lack of marriage. Because imagine a financially conservative woman, for example, marrying a man that, say, had $50,000 in gambling debts. And she found out before this so-called marriage, yeah, good idea. Let's call that marriage off. I absolutely think that's probably wise because it looks like they are financially incompatible. So this is another benefit of the premarital agreement. The other thing that you can contemplate is the future. And that's sometimes the problem. You have to be prospective in doing your premarital agreement and think about what's going to happen in my future. So I have these women that come in my office in a lot of instances, or men, typically the man comes to my office, but I have women that come in too and they say, oh, my husband or future husband wants me to waive alimony altogether. And I say, well, do you guys have any children? Are you planning on having any children? Have you discussed whether or not you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, for example? If so, how long? Do you contemplate being a stay-at-home mom the entire youth of the children, just the first few non-school years? What? And it's a discussion they often haven't had, and an important discussion, again, that all potentially married people should have. So let's assume they have the discussion and they intend wife to stay at home for some period of time. In that instance, I absolutely do not recommend a woman sign a prenuptial agreement waiving spousal support. But because I represent men, typically, I recommend they absolutely waive spousal support in that instance. I encourage people to be generous, but I want that to be their own right and decision to be generous. And so I say to them, waive spousal support. If you want to take care of your wife at divorce later, great. I encourage you. I hope you do take care of her. But I want it to be your decision and your control and within the parameters that you think you can afford, not what a judge says you should pay. Because judges can do something called impute you an income. Imputing you an income is, say, he could be earning more. He's not working to his fullest potential. He's underemployed intentionally, unintentionally. It should be intentionally underemployed by my reading of the law. But sometimes judges will take that a little further and say, let's say your peers are making $200,000 and you're earning $100,000 because you happen to be a great, let's say, architect, but you're not a good businessman. Well, God forbid you get divorced and the judge says, well, you could be earning $200,000 and you should be earning $200,000. So for purposes of spousal support, we're going to assume you are earning $200,000 and we're going to give your wife $100,000 a year, which in reality just happens to be your entire income. So this can legally happen in Nevada and California, for what it's worth, and does happen. And so with a prenup, if written the right way, if disclosures are done, if parties are represented, can protect you from this scenario and take the discretion away from the court. Not a bad idea. not bad for women either, because again, when they like each other still, they probably wouldn't want to starve their spouse out. And this is a perfect time to negotiate. 823-1920, if you guys want to call in and give me your own personal experiences with prenups, because I know lots of you listeners have had them. I'd love to hear them. In the meantime, I'll continue to tell you about mine. I recently had a female consultation where she was talking to me about her soon-to-be very wealthy husband and his prenuptial agreement, and he wanted to include a clause about her gaining more than 20 pounds, that if, in fact, she gained more than 20 pounds, there would be financial repercussions on her settlement. Do I know if this is enforceable in Nevada? I don't, because I actually haven't seen this tested. But our law in Nevada and California and many other states prefers, or shall we say favors, the enforcement of contractual agreements between people. If they agree, our courts want to uphold these agreements. So there is a potential this would be enforced. I don't know if the clause would be 20 pounds ever. And I specifically said, are you two planning on having children? Because if you are, we need to make sure we accept out the instance in which you have a child. Because I gained 60 pounds with my baby. And I'm not saying I'm smoking hot like this lady was, but it's another consideration to take in effect. And I said to her, does your husband perhaps need a clause that says I cannot wear Tommy Bahama male maternity shirts? How about that? And I got this on the other line of the phone. Yeah, silence. Apparently, he was a Tommy Bahama lover, and I thought I was so funny, and she did not, because apparently, despite her youth, she was like 25, she didn't have a problem with Tommy Bahama for her old man, fat belly wearing rich husband. So anyway, I would like to report that their marriage did not, in fact, happen. It fell through. This is one of the one third. So thank God, because if he's a Tommy Bahama maternity shirt wearing male paunch belly haver, then yucky, because she was a model. And then she said to me, why are you assuming I'm pretty? Because at one point I said something about her being obviously beautiful. And she immediately took offense. Why do you think I'm pretty? And I said, no, obviously you model. That's probably why I thought you were pretty. Anyway, interesting topic. So what else can go into them besides the spousal support consideration? On that note, while I'm tangenting on spousal support, one of the things that I would like to start building into some of my prenups is a contemplation that if both parties are on board, husband and wife both agree wife should not work, that she should stay at home, that they sign an annual statement to that effect. And they have a discussion every January. Are you going to stay at home this year, honey? Yes, I'm going to stay at home. And they sign a little quick note. And the prenup says every year the parties will discuss wife's status as a stay-at-home wife, and they will sign off on it. If there is no signature, that particular year cannot be considered for alimony, because alimony gets more expensive, more lucrative, more costly as the years dwindle on in a marriage where a woman is out of work. And I have so many men, I cannot tell you, that come in and say, I didn't want her to stay at home. She wouldn't go back to work. I told her and told her and told her to get a job. And that's why we're getting divorced, because she wouldn't work. And she just used the credit card and she sat at home and she didn't cook and she didn't clean and she didn't even work out. And I don't want to pay her for spousal because she sat on her butt for 10 years while I supported her already. So she got her spousal support. I paid it the whole marriage. And my response is, you enabled her. Legally speaking, you enabled her. You said it was okay for her to stay at home by not divorcing her sooner. And I don't think that should be the law. I don't think people should have to get divorced to force their spouse to work. And I don't think they should be financially penalized again at divorce when they've already done it during marriage. And so in that instance, they should talk every year. They should be forced to talk every year, or maybe every month, but we'll say every year for cleanliness. And they should have to write down that they agree. And if the wife cannot produce, or husband in some instances, I'm being gender bias, and I don't mean to be, but it is typically a woman that stays at home. But in the instance of husbands staying home, same thing. If they cannot produce a signed letter of intent for each year that they stayed home, then the court assumes that they stayed home over the objection of their spouse, and they don't get spousal support for that year. I think it should be that way. And I think, again, forcing married couples to communicate about significant issues like this and come up with an agreement maybe would help marriages last. And we'd never see these people in divorce court, which is obviously the goal of most families. So that's just a thought I had. Other things, again, like I said, you cannot really safely contract around custody, but you also cannot contract around child support. Child support cannot be capped or limited or affected by agreement contrary to the law. Essentially, that child support belongs to the child. And so you'll see these agreements that husband will pay no more than $500 a month or something to, along those lines. That is not an enforceable agreement in any state that I'm aware of, but particularly Nevada and California, and will not be upheld. So if they're in there, it's a waste of space, to be honest. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to do, as promised, talk about celebrity prenups and what, again, helps to make these agreements enforceable and my recommendations for having attorneys involved and for what purpose.
Not just news, your chance to talk about it. Fox 1270 in the morning with Panama plus Dawn Gibbons. Weekdays at 6 on Fox News Radio 1270.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. The legendary Mustang Ranch Museum. Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes. And they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, Exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us. If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to Exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Have you ever seen a square foot? Well, we've got 8,800 of them, and they're all fun. We're Junkie, 8,800 square feet of pure fun, because it's fun to save money, and it's fun to shop at Junkie. Got a theme party coming up? We can help you pull it all together. We've got the right look for your roaring 20s theme party. Been invited to a disco party? Need to look like Madonna or Cyndi Lauper? No problem. Our 80s gear is totally rad. Junkie has clothes for every kind of theme party. And Junkie can save you money on clothes for work, clothes for play, and clothes that are priced so low they just satisfy your urge to shop. You don't have to spend a lot to have a lot of fun. Some of our square feet are devoted to affordable retro furniture and vintage style home decor. You can decorate your home in a unique way at Junkie's Antique Mall. We also have tons of one-of-a-kind jewelry. So for affordable parties, clothes, accessories, retro furniture, and antiques, Junkie's the fun place to shop. Now we'll get serious and tell you where we're located. We're in the big brick building between Vassar and California on Virginia Street. Junkie is obviously the fun place to shop.
You know you want to quit smoking. Well, you can do it in just a few steps. All you need is a little motivation.
Get ready.
First, set a date to quit.
Get medicine.
Talk to your doctor about medicines that can help you.
Get help.
Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, a free service that can help you get started. Or go to ahrq.gov/consumer for more information about quitting.
You can quit smoking.
A few easy steps that'll help save your life. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fox 1270.
She take my money when I'm in need. Yes, yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger way over town that digs on me.
She give me money.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
It's Marilyn York. I'm back on, and we got some gold digger action. Again, this is the thought that most people want a prenup for if they have a gold digger in the house and they're trying to avoid that. But seriously, you guys, if you think you're with a gold digger, it's probably because you're marrying out of your league in looks. Prestige and intimacy, the two things that go into any relationship. If you get the prestige of having arm candy on your arm, pay for it. Buck up, own up, be honest, and pay for it. And if you girls are marrying a big old fat wallet, you're going to sleep with Mr. Burns. I'm sorry. Welcome to the realities. Let's just accept them. No one should be apologizing for them. Let's just build them into the agreement. That always reminds me, I'm going to have a random thought in the middle of the show. Like celebrities, we know you're going to cheat. So no more punishment in the prenups for cheating, because there are so many clauses. Like Denise Richards, apparently, with our favorite cheating little dirtbag, Charlie Sheen. They had an agreement that one or the other got $4 million in the instance that someone cheated. Let's not call it cheating, okay? Because you guys are going to do it. Let's just accept it. It's contemplated. Put it in the agreement. And reward. Let's call it reward. Reward your wife for each instance where you humiliate her by sleeping with another woman, or you betray her, or whatever you want to call it, just like Tiger Woods, and pay up. The question is, for me, is this prostitution, or are you paying them? Really, they're your pimp, your involuntary pimp or madam, because you're paying them for pimping you out to another person outside the marriage. But regardless, let's just admit it and not make it some dirty negative thing. Same with prostitutes. If you're going to go to the Mustang Ranch, sex is great at X 28, then, you know, do it. Put it in the prenup and say, each time I go to use a prostitute, I pay you for that pleasure. Okay? And let's just do it all up front. Again, it's all about communication, people. So enforceability, generally, a prenup is not enforceable if it's sought to be enforced against a party who did not execute it voluntarily. So don't get her drunk and get her signature. Don't get her high. Don't blackmail her. Don't stick in front of her as you're walking down the aisle, not with a gun to her head. Okay, these are sort of the obvious things. That the agreement was unconscionable when it was executed. Okay, that one is kind of silly to me, honestly, because most agreements are kind of lopsided for one reason or the other. But they can't be so lopsided that they're offensive. Like you marry a millionaire and you get nothing and he earns all of his income separately during the marriage and you're a stay-at-home mom with no skills. You never obtain any skills. And guess what? She gets nothing. She's a welfare recipient upon divorce. That's probably not going to be enforced, particularly because the state is who the courts are, and they're going to protect themselves from your wife going on welfare. So that is something that you need to be cognizant of. Before execution of the agreement, that the party was not provided a fair and reasonable disclosure of the property or financial obligations of the other party. Again, I've kind of touched on this. Full disclosure, obligations and property, both. You have to tell them if you have credit card debt, and you have to tell them if you're rich. You have to tell them if you have some big fat Cadillac or car dealership that you didn't mention. You know, you have to disclose that. Did they voluntarily and expressly waive in writing any right to disclosure? I'd still recommend full disclosure. I don't think waiving disclosure is a good idea. It's really hard to consider an agreement fully and understand its implications unless you know what you're waiving or giving up or accepting responsibility for. Did the party have or reasonably could have had adequate knowledge of the property or financial obligations? So if you guys have lived together for 5 years, or you're both attorneys and you run your law firms together, then yeah, you probably would have an idea of the financial obligations and property of the other without the full disclosure. But again, why not err on the side of caution? If you're going to go to the trouble of doing one of these, let's make it enforceable. What a thought. And then let's not do this on the eve of marriage. As I stated, there has to be, as part of the voluntary concept, some time between when they got the agreement and when they signed it. And I don't mean a week, boys and women. I mean months. Give them months. Make sure they have an attorney. If they refuse to get an attorney, give them money to get an attorney. If they still refuse, make sure they say they refused in writing and that they were told to get an attorney. Give them months to go over it. Keep all your drafts, if they made changes and you made those changes to the final draft, keep proof of that. But not on the eve of marriage. I had a celebrity divorce when I was doing that sort of thing in Los Angeles, where the husband sprung a romantic wedding on his wife in another country because he's such a romantic bastard. And instead of giving her some giant, beautiful ceremony, he gave her a prenup to sign on her way down the aisle. A big, fat prenup. And a lovely ring to go along with it. But it turned out that was less than ideal in our divorce setting when you force your wife to sign a prenup in the aisle of a spontaneous wedding she didn't know was coming, and she had no lawyer. Yeah, not actually great. So I do not recommend that as a romantic gesture. She didn't actually like him for that either, in case he was thinking that was a good move to further his bedroom, you know, evening. I suspect he didn't even get laid on his wedding night because of that skill. 823-1920 is the call-in number. If you guys have comments, you're very quiet today about prenups, and I know you have opinions because people like to blog about this. In fact, funny, there is this Midwestern boy who did a blog on it, and I don't know the guy, and I could care less, but I like Midwesterners because they make me laugh, because my mom is from Ohio. I speak Ohio, and I like this conservative, sort of religious-based conservatism. I can't even say that word. But he had some funny things in his blog all about prenuptial agreements, and he admitted that he is naive and thinks marriage is for life, and apparently didn't hear that divorces are commonplace. So one of the things he made fun of was Susie Orman, and it totally made me laugh. He said, personal finance expert Susie Orman encourages every engaged couple to get a prenuptial agreement to protect their current and future assets, as well as to shield themselves in case of a mate secretly running up massive credit card debt, which could damage both partners' credit. Dustin's thoughts were funny. I haven't had the occasion here to give my thoughts on Miss Orman. While she is certainly a bright and successful woman, I feel like her advice is usually centered primarily on her propensity for man hate. She also worships at the feet of FICO, credit score company, and clearly has no appreciation for traditional marriage. And I'm not saying that because she happens to be a lesbian. Her advice to couples seems always to hinge on the presumption that divorce is imminent and the man beast will be leaving his little lady barefoot and pregnant. I think this kind of paradigm is repulsive. He made me laugh, and I loved his hate on Susie Orman because she annoys me just because she's boring. Let's be honest. Art on line one, are you boring? Or are you going to thrill me?
I'm extremely boring and proud of it.
Okay, well, bore us, and then I'll make fun of you, and we'll have fun anyway.
Okay. Hey, I know a guy who, through some kind of mail-order bride setup, I don't know exactly what, he went over, I think, to either Russia or Ukraine.
Never go to Russia.
Huh?
Tell him never go to Russia. You get mail-order brides from, like, the Philippines, not Russia. They go to, like, man-hate school in Russia. It's bad.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there.
Anyways,
after she got back, within a couple months, she divorced him.
Yeah.
And I got the distinct, I'm of the opinion she used him just to, as a visa.
Absolutely.
Reason. So in that area, I also heard, I knew a guy that, married a Filipina, but he said it took 2 years to get her here.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that. But I would suspect that, you know, INS would be a little suspicious of the mail order bride scenario. It seems like kind of an obvious thing. But with internet dating, you can, you know, pass it off as I met them and we fell in love in a different language I don't speak. But whatever.
Okay.
But well, in that scenario,
pardon?
In that scenario, prenuptial agreement, is that your question? Would it be a
How do you protect yourself and so you're not just being used for the visa reason? Well, I'll just hang up and listen, okay?
Okay, Art. Well, thanks for the question. It's an interesting question that Art raises, because one of the things that needs to be considered in a visa scenario is that you need to have a contract signed with the INS. Typically, when you bring a bride over or a loved one to be that you're going to marry, you have to sign a financial consent or agreement to support them. In order for them to get a visa to even visit, you have to vouch to the INS that you are going to, in fact, be their supporter. So if you sign some sort of agreement like that, and then you later do a prenuptial agreement because you're planning to marry them, you have to make sure there's no conflict between the two. I would, in fact, say in the prenuptial agreement that the, you know, specific language in the INS agreement is contemplated and that that was the case at the time, or make sure, you know, that that is the extent of your support, something to that effect. But I absolutely agree that a prenup is a very wise thing with any long-distance relationship, not just the INS mail-order bride scenario. That would be the most extreme case. But if you are going to meet a woman on the internet and bring her over somewhere or vice versa, you guys should have more excuse or reason to worry and to iron out expectations, perhaps in a legally binding contract, before making that marriage happen, because you haven't lived in the same town and you may or may not speak the same language perfectly. And so this is a perfect excuse to do it. And they are upheld in most instances if done right. And so I would say to Art's question, it's a great question. And those two gentlemen should have absolutely done it. particularly with the bride school that goes on in Russia, which I want to talk about on another show because it's really interesting, these sort of concepts, and too much time, it will take way too much time. So we're about to go to a break, and before we do so, I'm going to give a word on my sponsor, Junkie, which is at 960 South Virginia Street in Reno, and they are open every day until 7. And if you guys didn't sign a prenup, you don't have any money. Let's just be honest. If you got taken to the cleaners, you can go to Junkie and still afford to buy some clothes or gift for some lovely lady so you can get another girl into your life, hopefully who has more, let's say, modest tastes because you don't have any money because you gave it to your last wife. So go to Junkie any day of the week and get a reasonably priced, really cute something gift for your new lady in your life. And let's find a girl that's reasonable this time and you won't need a prenup maybe. We'll talk to you guys after the break about celebrities.
Up late? Phil Hendry will keep you laughing overnight, 1 to 4 a.m. on Fox News Radio 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon. There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
It ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, like you never done before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering, walking down the road. I once loved a woman, a child, I'm told. I give her my heart, but she wanted my soul. But don't think twice, it's all right.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and I would like to just say, while the Wild Horse subject is on the top of my tongue, the Saddle Tramps are actually playing a show out there today. So get on out there, because they do have live shows besides the Burlesque Show, and they're an amazing band. So I would suggest you get on out there. Back to the prenuptial agreement scenario. 823-1920 is the call-in number. You guys have a few minutes left over to call and give me your thoughts and feelings and, you know, disgust for the subject in most instances. Okay, a lot of instances. Prenuptial agreements for the celebrity world are quite humorous, and I enjoy them so much. So let's talk about them. We have some. Khloe Kardashian, who looks like a transvestite, side note, and Lamar have finally finalized their prenuptial agreement. She's apparently getting $500,000 each year that they're married, $25,000 a month in support. A month. Okay, you guys. The house, a new car at the end of year release cycle, $5,000 a month for shopping, and $1,000 a month for beauty care. And that's what she looks like. But strange of all, she has negotiated season courtside Laker tickets for her entire family. Like, in the event you guys get divorced, you want to go to the Lakers and watch him play the rest of his life or his career, which is like 2 years, whatever. Who knows? I'm not a sports fanatic. Don't get excited if you guys are Lakers fans and yell at me, but I just think this is humorous. I think it's so she can heckle him on the sideline is what I'm thinking, that she's not actually going to cheer him on. If they get divorced, she wants upfront tickets so she can yell and tell him he sucks, which is kind of awesome revenge. We have the Nicole Kidman lovely prenup to Keith Urban, which makes me laugh, too. It says that Keith makes $640,000 for every year they are married, random number. But if he ever uses illegal drugs again, because apparently he was a cocaine addict, as most of you know, he doesn't get a penny. So, of course, the big thought is hopefully he loves his wife and money more than he loves his coke, because blow is very expensive for Mr. Urban. Excuse me. Then we have the favorite Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson alleged prenuptial agreement discussions when they were still together, and the big porker clause that everyone talked about. And I mentioned that briefly before, that you can in fact put in there that someone shouldn't gain weight. It's absurd, though. And maybe he should be concerned that she's a dumbass. I don't know. That's just a thought. We have Britney Spears and K-Fed. Apparently, she thought they were so in love that she didn't want a prenup. But fortunately, somebody with a brain talked her into getting one, and he still made off with a $1 million exit plan. And that guy is a total idiot and wears jean shorts, otherwise known as jorts or japris, which are jean capris on a man. Not attractive. He should have a japri clause in his prenup. I'm thinking that said, you in fact forfeit your million unless you never wear japris again. We have Liz Taylor and Larry, and these are the sort of prenups that exist. Him, the Welsh family, and Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes all have what we call a sunset clause in their prenups, which is so weird to me. So after a certain number of years in marriage, for Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, it's 11 years. For Jack Welsh and Jane Welsh, who is, by the way, a CEO, very wealthy man, they had a sunset clause after 10 years, which says that essentially, well, exactly, the prenup is null and void at that point after that many years of marriage. And then she, of course, walked right then. How weird that the Larry contractor guy did the same thing with Liz Taylor. They had a 5-year sunset clause and he walked and took his million. He only got a million. In her case, she took $150 million at her 10-year mark. Like, you're just, I guess it's kind of like a scheduled C-section. You're like scheduling your divorce. You get 150 mil right then. I'm leaving too. I don't care if I come back tomorrow, but I'm going to come back with 150 mil. I mean, it's just about idea in my you know, thoughts. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes is 11 years and then they're done as far as the prenup's concerned. I think that's pretty much the celebrity talk that exists, but there is apparently one instance where a celebrity divorce attorney had to include the destination of a couple's taxidermied horse. Yeah, dead stuffed horse and contemplated in the prenuptial agreement. There are other strange clauses in prenuptial agreements, and that's one of the things I was going to talk about. On the religious front, there is a get you can get in the Jewish world back. So that's an interesting thing. It's what gives a woman permission to marry again. Look him up online if you want to see him. And next week, tune in to hear former prosecutor and criminal defense attorney Tammy Riggs talk about criminal law as it relates to divorce, DUIs, and other common misdemeanors that overlap with family law. We'll talk to you guys next week on The Marilyn York Show and jump on Facebook to talk to us until then. Thanks for listening.
Talk radio that's fun to